Thank you for listening to WAER. We're joined by Bill Wagner of the Capital Gazette, who covers Navy lacrosse to preview Saturday's matchup, the first game between Syracuse and Navy since the 2004 national title that Syracuse won 14-13. Before we dive into this one, Bill, Navy is coming off a very important win last week against Army. How were they able to pull that game out?
Well, it was a low-scoring, hard-fought affair. Actually, Army outshot Navy in the contest, and a very good game by Navy goalkeeper Ryan Kern came up big with a number of huge saves. And they had one of their best players, Christian Daniel, who's a freshman attackman. He was out because of an injury, and he was replaced in the lineup by Chris Hill, who's a veteran attackman, and he really stood tall. And it was an interesting story. His grandparents had never seen him play college lacrosse. They had not been able to attend a game, and that was the first game they ever saw. So Chris Hill came up big in front of his grandparents, and he was kind of the catalyst of the offense.
All right, so on to this one. Syracuse plays somewhat of an offense by committee. There's not really a true top option. How does Navy's defense match up with that?
Well, it's kind of interesting because that's almost a similar description to Navy's defense. Navy does not have your shutdown defender, if you will. The last 2 years, they had two big-time, all-American-type defensemen. They had a close defenseman named Chris Fennell and a long-stick midfielder named Matt Reese. And you could put those two players on the best attackman and best midfielder, respectively, and they would usually win those matchups. That is not the case with the Navy defense this year. It is a team defense, in the true sense of the word. They do not have any one standout, although Mike Strack, a senior, has really stepped up and is having a great season. But he is not a shutdown defender type player. So they play team defense. They rely on communication, sliding, helping each other. So in many ways, it's a similar matchup.
Ryan Kern's also been steady in net all season for this defense. How can Syracuse get to him and kind of get him out of his rhythm in this?
Right. Well, Ryan is only a sophomore, and he has been rattled before. Last year, he had some games in which he kind of fell apart. So he has been very solid this year. I mean, again, he's a year older, a year wiser. As a sophomore, he's grown up quite a bit, and he's been very consistent, very solid. But, you know, he can be rattled. I don't think anyone considers Ryan Kern one of the top 10 goalkeepers in the country. At least he doesn't have that reputation. But, you know, Ryan's been very good. But I think a lot of it has been his defense is forcing opponents to take the type of shots that he wants to see, more low percentage shots. So, really, I think the key is, can you beat that defense and get, you know, higher percentage opportunities? One thing the Navy is been very good at not giving up unsettled transition type goals. I think if Syracuse were able to get some of those type situations, it would be very helpful to them.
Mm-hmm. And then at the faceoff dot in this one, Syracuse's Danny Varello is up against his brother Joe. How's Joe's season gone, and what type of challenges can he present to Danny?
Well, you know, I don't know what type of faceoff specialist his brother is, but Joe has been outstanding this year, and that was a question mark coming into the season because he had not played a lot. Navy had the greatest faceoff specialist in terms of numbers in program history. Brady Dove, he set Patriot League and obviously Navy records for faceoff wins and percentage. So Brady Dove was the main man on the faceoff circle for 3 years, and Joe had to sit behind him, and he got a very small percentage of opportunities. And this year he had to step up, and he did not play in the opener against Jacksonville, and it showed up big time. Navy got crushed on the faceoffs, and he came back against Maryland and made an immediate difference and has been very strong all season, having a really good year. That is a great matchup. In fact, I'm writing a feature article for my newspaper about that oddity. I cannot remember when a brother faced off against brother. I'm sure it's happened in the long history of college lacrosse, but certainly not very often. It's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, it's definitely got to be really cool for the Varello family. You've mentioned some of the top teams like Maryland that Navy's gone against. How does kind of being a seasoned team and be battle-tested help this Navy team going against Syracuse?
Right. Well, I think this is actually pretty good scheduling on Navy's part to put this game toward the end of the year. The unfortunate thing is that Maryland was the second game of the season, which I guess you could look at it two ways. It was the opener for Maryland, so Maryland did not even have a game under its belt. But, you know, I think in that situation, the underdog may have a tougher deal. But to make a long story short, Navy's now had an entire season to develop its team, to figure out who its key players are. And so in terms of trying to play a top-flight opponent, it might be a good time for Navy. They've already completed their Patriot League season. They're guaranteed to tie for first place in the Patriot League. They are probably going to get a top seed and have a bye. So there's a comfort level for Navy in that regard. And they can kind of just look at this Syracuse game as, you know, give it all, you know, they can let it all hang out because they've already accomplished the number one goal, which is they're going to have a top seed for the Patriot League tournament. Now, on that note, this game is really important for Navy if it has any hope of an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. Navy does not have any quality wins. They have a loss to Jacksonville that doesn't look so good. So if Navy wants to show that it can be a viable at-large entry into the NCAA tournament, it needs to beat Syracuse.
Yeah, and it seems like that scheduling's worked because it feels like they're playing their best lacrosse at this time. For Syracuse, what is Navy's bread and butter that Syracuse should be prepared to stop in order to win this game?
Well, I mean, I guess it their ball control type offense, what they like to do is they have they will hold the ball for a while. They'll use the clock there. It's not rare to see Navy get the timer on call where they have to go to the goal. They like to work the ball. They've got two key Dodgers in Grayson Terrain, the midfielder who's very fast, very speedy, very quick. He's a tough matchup for anyone. And he likes to dodge up top, whereas Jack Ray is a huge attackman. He's a 6'6", 240-plus pounds, and Jack can be a handful. He tends to dodge from behind the goal or goal line extended in that range. So those are kind of two of the key Dodgers for Navy, and then they play off of them. They try to get teams to slide and rotate, and they have some pretty good shooters. Again, they're one question mark, Christian Daniel, who is their leading scorer, freshman attackman. We do not know if he'll play. He did not play against Army. I have a funny feeling that they would sit him out of this game as well because the Patriot League tournament coming up the following week is more important than this regular season game. So if there's any question about his injury, he probably will be held out, which helps Syracuse, although his replacement, Chris Hill, did very well against Army and is a capable player. So but off of Grayson Terrain and Jack Ray, they have Casey Reese, is a former All-American midfielder. He missed all of last year with an injury, but he's back and he's starting to play better lacrosse as the season goes along. And they have another attackman named David Little who can put the ball in the net. He once scored 8 goals in a game, so he's quite capable. So it'll be interesting to see if Navy's offense can put some points on the board against Syracuse, because I think, you know, Navy's probably got to expect to score 9-10 goals to win this game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, too, with the injuries and the kind of movement on that Navy offense throughout the season, where Nick Mellon, star defenseman for Syracuse, ends up matching up, because he's kind of the number one close guy for Syracuse who usually tries to take out the top player.
Right, well, if he's a big guy, he'll probably cover Jack Ray. If he's undersized, that might not be the best matchup. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to go and see what his size is, but you know, you need a big body on Jack Ray or else he's going to bully you. He can run right over smaller defensemen, but he would be, most teams want to take Jack Ray out of the picture in terms of the close defense, although, you know, really your best defenseman, if he's capable of playing up top, the number one guy on Navy's team is Grayson Terrain. That's the guy you got to stop.
Yeah, that's Nick Mellon's probably like a 5'11". Tyson Bomberry is more the bruiser down there, so he'll probably get Jack Ray.
Right, well, and they may choose to bump your other defenseman up top to cover Terrain
right.
If he's got quickness, a little bit of quickness, and is decent in space, he could cover terrain. That's the most teams put their best defenseman on terrain if he's capable of playing up top. Some close defensemen just aren't comfortable playing midfielders.
Mm-hmm. So last game for Syracuse, second line freshman middie Brendan Curry got going and kind of gave the team a spark. For Navy, is there a guy that won't pop up on the scouting report that might have an impact in this game?
Well, I mentioned him already. Chris Hill was the guy that, you know, he was a starter last year, and he lost that job to the freshman Christian Daniel. And obviously, he is capable of coming off the bench and doing things. He's had a couple good games this year. He scored the game-winning goal in a game. So no one on the second midfield. There is no member of the second midfield that's going to suddenly erupt and score two or three goals. Navy's offense is its top six, the three attackmen and the first line midfield, and you know the defense is pretty stable. So the answer to that would probably be no. There's Navy's what they put out there on the field to start the game. Those are the key people.
Mm-hmm. Last question. Finish this sentence for me. I know we've touched on it a little, but Navy wins this game if.
If Ferrello dominates the faceoffs and Navy controls possession, keeps the ball out of the sticks of Syracuse, because I think, you know, obviously we all know Syracuse tends to have a fairly potent offense that has been kind of the calling card over the years. I mean, in the dome, I think Navy got to possess the ball and make this a low-scoring game. Navy wants to win 8-7, 7-6. They do not want to see this game get up into double figures.
All right, Bill Wagner of the Capital Gazette. Thank you so much, Bill. Really, really appreciate your time. And again, thanks.
Yep. All right. Fantastic.